everybody. Welcome to The Writer Chick with your host, Kay Nicole.
If I sound kind of dead inside, it's because it's 1:04 a.m. and I decided at the last minute that I wanted to record a podcast episode. Not entirely sure why. I am wired on coffee and vibes, so this is where we're at. And if you see that there's no video version of this podcast this week, it's because, like I said, I'm recording this at 1 in the morning, and I have my bonnet on, and I look crusty, so I refuse to let you see me in my natural habitat, so you will only be hearing my sultry voice today. There's been quite a bit going on, because I don't remember the last episode I posted. I don't remember what date. I think it was, like, sometime in November, or, like, October, or whatever. I don't know. But anyways, if you haven't kept up with me on Instagram, which, by the way, you should follow me, it's at K the Writer. That's K-A-E, the Writer. Just letting you know, I finished my 5th book. I also finished 2nd round edits, and then I introduced the title, which is called Hold Me As I Land. So, shameless promo, if you guys want to sign up for beta reading, I will insert the link down below, and you have until December 19th to sign up. I only had 7 people sign up so far, so I just sent it to them today, but you still have room to apply if you so choose. Just so you know, it's a romance book. So if you're into romance, this might be up your alley. If you're not into romance, then I feel bad for you. So, yeah. This podcast is available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Stitcher, and YouTube. So, yeah, you can listen to me anywhere. That's fine. I don't really care. Do what you need to do. But anyways, you're not here to hear all that. You are here because of the title and how compelling it sounded. I thought these were supposed to be my golden years, a discussion on being 20-something. Telling you, this was literally like, I literally wrote the script, or, well, not script, but like wrote what I wanted to say like literally an hour ago. This was a very impromptu episode. I mean, I've always wanted to do something talking about this, but I don't know. There's just been this feeling that I've had since turning 21 that will not leave me, and I'm starting to realize that everybody's feeling this way, so it makes me feel a little bit better, and it makes me feel a little less crazy. So, yeah, I'm here to talk about that. So the first section is just, so far, what are my feelings about being 21? And it's just been kind of rough, bro. It's been kind of mid. Like, I thought 21 was going to be a lot different, you know, from what you see on TV or what you see online or what you see in books and stuff, how they always not perpetuate. Glorify, that's the word I'm looking for, how they always glorify what the 20s are supposed to be and how they're supposed to be. So now that I'm 21 and it's not quite what I always pictured it would be, I'm a little disenchanted. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but it was the first thing that came to mind. I don't know, because I'm 21 and I'm already starting to work at a place that I can't stand. I'm not going to name names, but I can't stand working there, genuinely. It sucks the absolute soul out of me. And I'm starting to realize that maybe this is going to be my whole life, and I don't know how I feel about that. And by that, I mean, if I have to work my ass off all the time just to scrape by and pay bills, and that doesn't leave me with a lot of energy to do what I want to do, or a lot of energy to live my life, or a lot of energy to foster relationships that are valuable to me and allow me to grow as a person, then what is this fucking for, you know? So it makes me a little apathetic in a way, and if I'm not sad about it or angry about it, I'm numb about it, and that isn't a good feeling either. And on top of that, I also feel very anxious because, as you know, I'm about to graduate soon, and there's just been a lot of changes going on in my life that I haven't necessarily been prepared for. So that's making it a little harder, and I'm starting to realize, like, maybe I should have taken more time to think about where I wanted my future to go. Which I think I always did, but I never really did because I never really was that person who said to myself, oh, this is the thing I want to do and I already have it all figured out, right? I'm not like one of those people who just says to themselves, I want to be a therapist or I want to be a teacher, I want to be this out the gate, and that's exactly what they do. I've always been that person who kind of had some things that I was interested in that I would like want to do, but then I'm like, but then I want to do this too, or do this, or do that, or da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it was never really a clear direction, and then I've never also been a career person either. I've never really dreamt of having a 9-to-5 career that I work at for 40 years and then retire at, and I feel fulfilled with my life. I've never been that person. I'm still really not that person, and I don't think I'll ever be that person, but it does cause a lot of anxiety because it's like, what the fuck am I doing? Which seems to be the common thing with me lately. It's just, what am I going to do? And it's like, rationally, I know I'm going to be fine because everybody says I'm going to be fine, but it doesn't really feel fine. It just feels like you're placating me, and I don't like that, you know? So, yeah, that's where we're at. So those are my thoughts about 21 so far. I just, if it's not feeling anxious about where I'm going, I'm also feeling numb about it, or I'm feeling stuck. And stuck is, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what stuck really means for me, because it's not that I feel stuck at home. I like being at home. I like being with my mom. I like hanging out with her. I like spending time with her. I think it's more of a, I feel stuck in my life, or I feel stuck in a rut, I guess, or like, it's like, I don't quite know how to be. It's like, I'm still kind of a kid, just a little bit, because you don't ever really stop being one, but then I'm not quite an adult either. It's like, I'm kind of in the middle, and I don't really know how to navigate that right now, and that causes a lot of dissonance. So, yeah, I don't know, that was more of a stream of consciousness, so. That's fine. But actually, that brings me to my topic. Oh my God, it's 1:11, by the way. So maybe I'm supposed to do this episode this late. Thank you, universe. But the next point that I have on here is drowning in an ocean. And once again, this is where I'm talking about anxiety and how that's been. And I've already probably mentioned before how it's gotten worse, which I don't understand, because it's always been kind of there, I guess, kind of just bubbling underneath the surface, right, as everything does. But I didn't really realize it was a problem until maybe high school, but I had more social anxiety, but I just assumed that's just because I was like introverted and shy and just very like fuck people. So I didn't really chalk it up to that being the issue. But then you get to college and I realized, first off, I had a very difficult time making friends and even wanting to put myself out there. And I still do. And I actually regret that quite a bit. Like, if I could go back in time, I would have forced myself to be more active and more proactive in what I wanted to do and meeting people and building connections, because I feel like I really wasted my college years a lot. So I regret that sometimes, but it also was because I was with a stalker at the time. If you want to go back to that story time, you can. It should be like down below if you scroll. That one's wild. It's a ride. But anyways, that contributed a lot to that too, because I was really anxious about him being around, so I didn't really want to like leave or go anywhere, and I let that control me for a while. Then by the time I really got over that, then coronavirus hit, so nobody could do shit in sophomore year. Junior year was around the time I really tried to just be a little bit more that way. And yet I still was stuck, and I still felt like I didn't quite get there. Or maybe I would have gotten there a little bit more if I would have stayed longer, because I made the decision to save money and stay at home. And I'm also going to be commuting next semester. That's going to be a a journey, but not going to talk about it. And I'm not mad that I decided to stay home and save money, and I'm not mad that I'm working, I'm not mad that I'm doing any of that. And I'm still kind of going out and meeting people and doing that, but I still kind of feel like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm doing this, but there's no real clear direction. Like, it didn't really do much for me because I'm still feeling like I'm missing out a lot, which that's a topic I'm going to get into like way later. So I'm not going to like spew too much about that right now. I'm going to wait. But yeah, no. Anyways, back to the anxiety. But anxiety comes from that too. And it also comes from the fact that, like I said, I don't necessarily know where I'm going to go. And that's what I'm talking about, the connection building, is that I wish I would have built those connections so then I wouldn't have really had that same feeling now. And I'm not saying that would have stopped. Who knows? Maybe I would have did that and still would have felt this way. But I don't know. I feel like it would have been a little less of a problem. But hey, we're 3.5 years in. And there's really no going back. There's really nothing you can do. And if we could change the past, I'm sure everyone would be a lot happier. But we can't. So all you can really do is move on. But oftentimes it does feel like that anxiety and that fear and that overwhelming cloud of fuck, what am I gonna do, can drown you. And a lot of times I feel like I'm drowning in that, and it sucks. And that's okay to admit, it sucks. The 20s, they're hard. It's not as easy as people like to make it out to be. So another thing is trying to figure out who I am, because it's weird. It's like I know who I am inertly, and I know who I would like to be, which the psychology is about to come out tenfold, by the way, because I'm learning about the ideal self and the actual self, or whatever I think it was called, in my theories of personality class. And your ideal self is the one you idealize. That's the one you want to be, the one you strive to be, the one you aspire to be, but that isn't always rooted in reality, right? And then there's your actual self, so the person you really, really are, and that's just who you are, right? And I'm not saying it's not okay to strive to be someone better or be something better, but you also have to recognize who you are and recognize what you're making up. And I don't know. I feel like my ideal self and my current self don't necessarily match. Because I know the type of person I would like to be, but it's just hard to want to make those steps to be that person. So it's just easier to just not be that person. But I also feel like I'm doing myself a disservice by doing that. And that was a whole bar. So shout out to me for being poetic at 117. But anyways, I don't know. I just feel like there's so many identities that I could be, or there's so many different people I could just be. Like, I could just wake up one day and want to be this person, or wake up one day and want to be that another different type of person, you know? I could be anything I really want to if I try, and that is a lot to deal with, because there are so many things I want to do, so many things I want to be, so many things I want to try, but then it's like too much. It's too overwhelming. Like, actually, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on this podcast or in general, but I'm one of those people where I think that if I change something really drastic about myself, that it's going to make me feel better and make me feel like I'm a different person now. And, oh, I can do anything now or whatever, right? Like, for example, I dyed my hair red. I thought a change like that would make me feel better about myself. It would make me say, okay, I'm becoming more authentically me, right? It didn't fix anything. I'm still the same person, and I still feel the same way. It didn't fix shit. It looks great on me, but it didn't fix anything. Same with the nose piercing. I got the nose piercing thinking that, oh, if I got the nose piercing, I could get closer to who I'm trying to be, right? Aesthetically, but that still didn't fix it. I look on Pinterest, I'm like, I want to be a bohemian spiritual baddie, right? Dressing the waist beads and shit, thinking that's going to make me feel more authentic, and maybe part of it will, but really it won't do that either, because I'm just masking the fact that I still feel shitty about myself. And that's, and clothes and all that, it's not gonna change that. So even though it's an identity I want to aspire to or be, it's still not really something I can get to unless I do the inner work first. So until I do the inner work first to where I feel like I can figure out where I align as an authentic person, I can't just try to pick an aesthetic and think that's going to fix me. So this got so existential. Ugh. And I promise you, I am just talking by the seat of my fucking pants right now. I have a kind of a direction on where I'm going, so then I don't get too sidetracked, but I promise you, this is literally off stream of consciousness. This is slowly becoming my own personal diary entry, and you guys are just witnessing a train wreck, so you're welcome for the free content. So, yeah. But anyways, next topic is social media, and this bullet point is titled Social Media is a Vanity Scheme, and ironically, I was actually going to make an episode dedicated completely to this, and maybe one day I will, but for right now, I feel like social media really is detrimental to 20-somethings because it really makes you reevaluate your own life, and it makes you compare your own life and your own journey to someone else's, and it makes you feel extremely inferior. There's actually this book I'm reading. I'm going to bring up more about it in a little bit, but it's called The Defining Decade. I can't remember the author's name, but just look it up. I'm sure you'll find it. It was recommended to me on TikTok, and I was like, I should really buy that. And from what I did read, it actually is really good so far. I got to finish it, and I'll talk about it some more on here later once I do. But I remember there was this specific portion in the book where she had talked about how social media is extremely toxic to 20-somethings because of how much comparison it causes, and how we have literally 24 access to everyone's lives all the time. And if you're not careful, you're going to start seeing somebody who just graduated college and is going to grad school and is about to become a lawyer, right? And you're sitting here and you're like, I'm barely scraping by, right? Like, what am I really doing with my life? They're doing all these big things. They're winning all these awards. They're doing all this. They're making a killing off of being creative and whatever, right? And being a content creator. They're richer than me. So what am I doing wrong? Or damn, I'm never going to be like that. Or you start thinking like, damn, I want to be like that, but it's not happening fast enough, and I'm still stuck at where I'm at. So then you start feeling shit about your own life, and then it's just a never-ending goddamn cycle. But I would say social media really has fucked with my perception about where I am in my own life, because I see people I went to high school with, and some of them are doing, like, amazing things, and I'm not jealous of them for that. I think it's great that they're really thriving, but sometimes it makes me feel like, damn, did I really even do anything? Like, I thought I was gonna be one of those people who really had a bunch of, not that accolades really mean shit, by the way, I mean they do. Wait, I don't want to sound fucked up. I mean they do, but that shouldn't be your only source of self-worth. Okay, but knowing this, I know this, however, I'm still just gonna keep talking. But you know, I'm thinking, you know, I don't got all these accolades. I don't got all this. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, am I doing something wrong with my life, right? Or I see these people on YouTube or on fucking TikTok blowing the fuck up over some stupid shit. And I'm like, I'm dead ass struggling just to get like 100 views on something that I like to do. So how are y'all doing it? How am I fucking up? Like, I don't get it. You're like fucking, what, 16 and you're like a fucking millionaire, and I'm 21 and I'm barely making enough to scrape by, right? So that makes me feel bad sometimes, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I want to be rich like you and not have to worry about stuff. I want to be rich and just do TikTok dances and be done. And I'm like, I know that's still hard work, and I know that comes with its own set of limitations. So the grass is not always greener on the other side, but that still doesn't make, or that still doesn't stop you from wondering, like, damn. Right? It didn't stop you from wondering. Or sometimes when I hear people talking about all these great things they plan on doing, I'm just like, it must be nice to know, right? And I was talking about this with my mama the other day, and she was like, you know, sometimes even the people who know exactly what they want to do are still just as lost as the people who don't. And I'm like, that's true. So like I said, the grass isn't always green on the other side, but we're human beings and we're going to compare. And we're going to do that. It's just us. But what I'm trying to say here is comparison is the thief of joy. And I've said this before, and it's so easy to remember, and yet it's so hard to apply to your own life. But social media is fake. Social media is extremely fake. We don't even know what half of these people's stories are. Like, maybe they look like they're doing great, but really they're in debt. Maybe that house isn't even really their house, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they still can't even really pay their bills. You don't really know, right? You don't know. So it's a fucking vanity scheme. We buy into an image, but those images aren't really real. So basing your entire life on someone else's image is just a waste of time, you know? So it's just, there's just really no point. And speaking of comparisons, this brings me right back to that same subject, however, from family. Well, two things. So I don't know if anyone else is like this, but I was talking about this with my boyfriend the other day, and we were talking about how we hate when family members only ask you how's school going and what do you want to do when you get out. That seems to be the only question that they know how to ask. And yes, I understand, maybe it's a way to make conversation. Good for you, I guess. That's totally fine. But at some point, after what, the fifth family member asking you the same fucking question, you get a little irritated and you start to wonder to yourself, do you even really care about what I like to do? Like, do you even really care about me as a human being? Like, how about you ask me, what are my interests? If I didn't have to worry about, like, money or whatever the fuck, what is something that I would love to do and would love to make a killing off of? You know what I mean? Those people don't ever ask about my books. They know I write books. They know these things about me, right? They don't ask about my podcast. They don't ask how I do my podcast. They don't ask none of that. They don't ask, oh, how do you write your books? How long have you been writing your books? They don't let me, hey, can I read some? Da, 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 da. They don't ask the most important questions, which is, who are you as a person? The only thing they seem to care about is that superficial bullshit that society perpetuates, and I hate it. Nobody gives a fuck about a fucking piece of paper. Nobody cares. I don't care about it. Why do you care about it? I want you to care about me. I don't want you to care about a image of success. And I'm putting that in quotations. And it irritates me. I absolutely hate when family members, that's the only thing they ever ask me. And don't even try to follow it up with something else. Like, it baffles me every time. And I get irate. Like, we can switch up the conversation. It's fine. Because I promise you, they be thinking I'm rude because I only give them, like, one or two word answers and then move on. But it's simply because I'm bored with the conversation. I'm bored with you now. I'm disengaged because now I can officially tell that you don't necessarily give a fuck about me. Especially if you don't follow up with another question about who I am. I know you don't give a fuck about me. You just give a fuck because, oh, you're doing something that's deemed appropriate by society. So let me condone that. So I don't know, that shit gets on my nerve. It really, really does. It grinds my gears. It does. It's always how's school. It's going, bro. What do you want me to tell you? Like, it's literally it's like fucking Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm fucking surviving at this point. Do you want me to sit here and tell you that college is fucking great? It fucking sucks. Sometimes. I don't want to deter the people who are going to college. College isn't always all bad, but it's not as cutesy and shit that they make it out to be on TV. So don't trust what the fuck they tell you, because it's not for the goddamn week. I'll tell you that. But that gets on my nerve. And then I also hate when family members will compare you to other family members that are quote unquote more successful than you. Because I know I had a family member compare me to one of my cousins, and they tend to be like, oh, well, this cousin is doing this and this cousin is doing that and da da da. And I'm like, okay, good for them. I'm glad that you are going to school for what you want to do, and I'm glad that it's working out for you. But that doesn't mean that what I'm doing is less than. And I don't really like that feeling of being compared to, because they have a more, what is it, socially acceptable, like, career path or journey or whatever, and I necessarily don't. I don't really care for that. Like, it's really irritating. I'm not going to divulge which family member said this, but needless to say, they did, and it pissed me off, and I, yeah, not really into that, but that's fine. That's fine. All right, so next topic is dead-end jobs, and dead-end jobs, I already just mentioned a few minutes ago how I'm working at this job that sucks the goddamn soul out of me, and I mean that. Let's see if you can guess what type of job I work, just based off that description, but I don't know, I go in there all the time, and I already just don't like it because of a lot of other reasons. I stopped liking it because I just felt like I outgrew it, but I didn't really have a choice but to go back because I did a dumb niggas decision, and I was working at a different place, and I was getting actually a little bit more pay, right? But then I couldn't handle the hours. I couldn't handle the full-time hours, and I was like, this is too much for me. So I left, and I went back to my old job, and knowing I didn't like my old job, but I couldn't really find anything else because the job market is absolute trash right now. We're not even going to talk about that. I'm scared to find another job because I'm not sure if I would even get one with the way they're acting right now. This economy is fucked, but I digress. So I went back to that, and I was trying so hard to have a good attitude about it because I really genuinely felt like I outgrew the job. So I was like, I really do not want to go back here. But I was like, okay, I could try to make it work, right? I'll try my damnedest. It's fine. We got this. I can just at least survive until I graduate, right? Wrong. Wrong. I'm still at this job, but I promise you, this shit has not only spiked my anxiety up 10 fucking fold, spiked my stress up 10 fucking fold, but it's lighting up this burning desire to just leave because I can't take it. Like, it's just so not what it used to be. Because the management is just, it's bad. It's just bad. But I don't know. But anyways, I go in there a lot, and I just think to myself, like, why the fuck am I here? I have this most negative attitude. I go walk in, and I just really try my damnedest not to. But it's so hard because I just know that this isn't where I'm supposed to be right now. Or maybe it really is in this moment, but I just know this isn't going to be my forever. And I see the older people that work there. I see the managers that work there and who have been working there. And I look at them and I go, I never want to reach my cap. Like, I never want to just be stuck like you because you're stuck and this is all you think about. This is your life. I don't ever want that to be my life. And I don't ever want to be that miserable because they are miserable. They're miserable. A lot of adults are miserable, but I was telling my mom, I was like, dude, like, no shade, but if this is gonna be my whole life, well, she was like, I mean, this is just how it is. I'm like, yeah, that's great and all, but if this is really gonna be my whole life and I have to live like this forever and live with this feeling, I don't really want to do that. Like, can I go take like a fucking week-long coma, please? Like, I don't really want to do that shit. I'm good. I'm not really into that. Sorry. I don't really want to keep perpetuating that same type of cycle. That's usually where I feel the most stuck. And I know that I'm going to find something eventually that aligns more with what I like and more of who I am one day. But I'm just like, can you come faster? Because I promise you, I'm going to end up in handcuffs one day with the way they be acting. So I'm gonna leave that there. But I get it. If you're stuck at a dead end job like me, and you absolutely hate your life, and you think about quitting on the daily, and you wonder if this is really gonna be it for you, I promise you it's not gonna be it for you. And we're gonna get through it together. So I got you. You got me. And we gotta figure it out. I mean, we don't have a choice. So. But trust me, I get it. Jobs really can take a toll on your mental health. It is very sad. I think it's just one of those things, like, they forget that employees are people, and I don't really like that because we're not just numbers to you. We're actual human beings with lives and things going on. So can you just treat us with a level of respect? It shouldn't be that hard to treat people with human fucking decency, but they seem to forget that. So whatever, but we're not here to talk about that. So I'm gonna move on. All right, so now we're back onto the topic of FOMO. So FOMO for me is, I think I already said this before, but this idea that as a 20-something year old, then you should be partying, you should be 20, whatever 20 looks like, you should be 20-ing, and I don't feel like I'm 20-ing enough, you know? But I don't know, that really just isn't me. Like I said, it's just been a bit of an adjustment being home and not really being, I think it's not being independent in a way. Like, I'm independent, but I felt like I was a lot more independent when I was, like, kind of by myself more. Which, that's no slay on anyone. I made that decision, and I don't necessarily regret it. I would do it again in a heartbeat because I've saved quite a bit of money. Trust me. If you could live with your parents and it's not a problem for you, I would recommend doing it. It really does help. Especially in this goddamn world right now. With the way rent is. I don't got enough money for that. Look, I already be struggling to pay my bills now. I'm making I wanna drop like almost $1,000 on an apartment or $2,000 on an apartment. Like, I ain't crazy, right? I think it's one of those things where you just feel like you're missing out on things, or you feel like you're missing out on what your 20s are supposed to be because of what people perpetuate. And yeah, so sometimes I feel like I'm missing out. Well, FOMO's a fear of missing out. Not feeling like you're missing out, but I feel I should change it for this because who said that has to be that way? So I'm changing it. It's feeling of missing out. And then the last section is how to stop feeling so numb. And I mean, how to stop feeling like your 20s are suffocating you, for lack of a better word. Here's where I'm going to talk about the defining decade. And the defining decade has three sections. I know work and love are two of them. I don't know. I don't remember the last one. And it's across the room, but I don't feel like getting up to go get it, so I'm just going to leave it alone. But I know in the work section in particular, she was talking about networking, but not in the sense of, like, networking with the same group of people, I guess, but more so those little connections that you take for granted. Like, those little connect, like, just saying hello to somebody in a grocery store, being nice to somebody at the register. They could be somebody that might help you out in your life later on. They might not, but they might be. So you never really know what those little connections might blossom into. So you should really pay attention to those. Also, building identity capital, which basically is starting small and working your way up. So you got to find things that are going to help you build towards your goals or towards that career you want or towards whatever life that you're trying to live, you know? And that starts with something tiny, like a little pebble. You know, you keep throwing enough pebbles, you're going to get a goddamn boulder. So this is kind of what she's saying a little bit. And she also talked about, you know, while working towards your goals, and that's important, but you should also be extremely patient with yourself because you're not going to have it figured out right now. You're just not. And trust me, I'm talking from somebody who's still trying to learn this because I know it already. Inertly, I already have the answers. I just refuse to see it because I'm still super caught up in my own thoughts a lot of the time when the answer really is super simple. So, but yeah, what I'm trying to say is be patient with yourself. It's not the end of the world. And I promise you that it's going to go in the direction it's supposed to go, and your life is going to play out the way it's supposed to play out as long as you make the right steps to make sure it plays out that way. You just got to enjoy the journey and then, you know, worry about the destination when you get there. But I get it. Sometimes being this young, you think, I want to just get there now. Like, I just want to get to the destination now. Like, wow, I got to wait. Da-da-da-da. Can I just skip to the part where I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, I'm, you know, I got money in my account, I got a husband, wife, kids, dog, white picket fence, I don't care. Can I just skip to that part, right? Well, you can't until you go through the journey to get there, so, yeah. Okay, so another thing I was talking about on here is letting go of the future. this is something I'm trying to work on. Like I said, when you got anxiety, all it does is tell you everything that you did wrong in the past, and it tells you everything that's going to go wrong in the future. So you can't really win. You're kind of just stuck a lot. It is literally like my brain will shut off sometimes, and I absolutely hate it. Like, it just sounds like static in my head all the time. But that's something I'm trying to work on. Because once again, I was having this conversation with my mom, and my mom was like, you gotta just let shit play out the way it's supposed to. Everything you're learning right now is setting you up to where you need to be. So stop worrying about what's gonna happen and just let go and stop trying to control everything. And I think I'm one of those people who wants to have it all planned out, who wants to have a solid direction. And I don't know, maybe that's a Taurus in me. Because I don't like change. I don't like new things. Like, I like it the way it's supposed to be. So when I'm thrown with shit that doesn't align with what I need it to be, then it's a problem. And then I don't know how to function. And then shit hits the fan. So needless to say here, if you're somebody who struggles like me about that, you have to just try your best to live here in the now and don't worry too hard about where you're going to end up, because I promise you, you're going to end up where you're exactly supposed to end up, and it's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. Another thing, you're not on the wrong path either. Just because someone's path is different doesn't mean that your path is wrong. Everyone's journey is different. Everybody has to take different walks. You know, everybody has different obstacles they have to go through, different hurdles they have to jump over. But that doesn't mean that your journey is less than someone else's just because theirs wasn't as hard, you know? So don't beat yourself up. Basically, that idea of comparison. Like I said, their journey's different. Your journey's different. Stop comparing. Both are equally important. Another thing, these feelings are not forever, I promise. also trying to learn this, but these feelings are not forever, I swear. It just feels like it's forever because it feels like it's compounding all at once, and it feels like you're drowning in it, right? You're drowning in your 20s. Literally, I guess that's the best way to describe the 20s, is a constant flailing, a constant drowning session. And a constant fight to get air a lot of the time. And you don't really get air until, I don't know, maybe you hit a certain age and it all just, you know, works itself out, or somebody jumps in and fucking saves you, or at least gives you a fucking, like, tank of oxygen. I don't know. Snorkeling mask. But as suffocating as it feels right now, it's not going to be that way forever. And you just have to remember that this is temporary. And we got this. So, yeah. All right. So, this also goes in with the you're not on the wrong path thing. 20s have different faces. So, your 20 something might be different from someone else's 20 something, but that doesn't mean that your 20 something is wrong. So, don't think that you have to get pissy drunk every night or partying till dawn or be wilding out all types of wherever the fuck. It's okay if you're the 20-something who likes to sit at home and play with their dog and watch anime. There's nothing wrong with that. Because I'm that person. I'm really, the most simple thing I did today was I did laundry. I started Chainsaw Man, which, by the way, that shit is gory as fuck, but I'm going to finish it at some point. I watched a little bit of Grey's Anatomy. I did some homework. And I finally hung up some Christmas lights on my curtain today. And that made me feel happy. And I was planning out a new story I want to write. That was my evening. And you know what? I felt very at peace. More at peace than if I was out with people or doing stupid shit. I felt more at peace in my own house than I do with other people. And that is oh motherfucking K. There ain't nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, if you like me, ain't nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Alright, and I'm gonna end this with a little bit of piece of advice that I heard on TikTok. It was from this girl. I cannot for the life of me remember, but And I sound like I'm going to find it now. It's buried. I'm always on TikTok. Like, seriously, my history is literally flooded. But I remember her saying specifically, you got to think of your 20s as like your new baby stage. Because think about it, as 19, you were still kind of like a teenager still. Like, not quite a teenager anymore, because now you're like legal in the eyes of the law, but you're still low-key a kid. You know, people don't know how to treat you. They're like, yeah, you're an adult, but you're still like a kid. So you're kind of in this weird middle phase for a while that you can't really get out of. And then you hit your 20s. You hit 20. And then shit kind of hits the fan a little. And you got to think of hitting 20 as like zero. And then hitting 21 as you're 1 year old. And then you keep going up in there. And think about it like this. You're learning how to be an adult. You're learning. Nobody teaches you how to be an adult. It's something you learn on the job. So you can't beat yourself up for trying to figure it out when you were thrust into it. You're a baby. Babies don't know everything. At all. They have to learn and explore the world in order to figure it out and become functioning little demon spawn. So it's the same thing as being 20 years old. You are in your baby stage and you're learning, and that is okay. Sometimes it takes a little longer to figure it out. Sometimes you figure it out right away. But, you know, it doesn't mean you're a screw up because it's taking you a little bit longer than someone else, you know? So I'm in my baby stage. I'm still figuring it out. I would say I'm a relatively functioning adult. As my mom says, I'm a better functioning adult than most. But I also have parents that made me extremely independent. Oh, that might be part of it. But I'm still struggling too. Trust me. I'm still an adult who's struggling too. So we are all figuring it out. We are all trying our best. I promise that. We are all trying our damn best. But hopefully this little stream of consciousness, 1 a.m., almost 2 a.m., really need to drink some water because my voice sounds like I smoke 3 packs a day, kind of helped. I really hope this episode helped, because I promise you, if it doesn't make sense, I apologize, but I really tried to be as concise as I could. Just try to find the nuggets in between all the mess, because I'm sure it's there. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I don't know when I'm seeing you again, but hopefully it's soon. I think the next episode I want to do is centered around my book, because I would love to talk more about that with you guys, because it's been a very interesting process, and I'm very excited for this book. Like, very excited. Like, y'all don't even get it. I'm like so excited, and I'm extremely nervous because I just realized I sent these to these beta readers, and when I did it, the nervousness didn't really settle, but now that it's settled in, I realize that they're gonna read my stuff, and what if they think it's bad? But it's not bad. I know it's not bad. I know I'm talented. So it's like, it's okay. I'm scared for their constructive criticism, but I welcome it with open arms. So wish me luck. But hopefully my little hiatus will not be almost a month long. Can't promise shit. But I have missed you guys so much. And I appreciate everybody who's still sticking around with me despite my inconsistency. And if you really enjoyed this episode and you really got something out of it, please share it with a friend. Please share it on social media. Or feel free to tag me on my IG and use hashtag the Writer Chick Podcast. And even better, if you could rate and subscribe to either my channel or, you know, rate the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, that'd be nice, because it actually would help me get it pushed more. Same with comments. So if you could, you know, just leave one of those, that'd be nice. It's a free way to support. If you don't feel like donating to my Cash App or my donation link, so just please and thank you. And I hope you guys stay safe, stay healthy, and stay gorgeous, and I will see y'all.